something, Lord, that each of us would be able to take, store, and apply to our lives, Lord. Maybe this week, maybe next year, Lord, I don't know. But Lord, something that we could use, Lord, so that we could just be stronger and bring more glory to you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, we have a short little verse, and it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And this was a time in the world when everyone was doing their own thing. They were partying, things were wicked. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And what I want to talk to you about right now is when you look in the eyes of the Lord, what do you find? And this guy, Noah, came to faith in God, because in chapter 11 of Hebrews it says, by faith, Noah was moved to build an ark. And God had grace for everyone back then. You think about that all these people that populated the world, God had grace for them too. You might say, yeah, but God wiped them out in a flood. But God allowed them to be ministered to, preached to, for 100 years. And God had grace for them too. But they did not take advantage of that grace. And so Noah's building this ark with his family, 100 years. He's preaching to these people. Everyone thinks he's whacked. He is whacked out of his brain, building this great big box, this barge, and telling everyone it's going to rain. Judgment is coming. And for 100 years, Noah was faithful in preaching the message that judgment was coming, but salvation can be had by entering into the ark and believing the Lord. They rejected it, as we know. And so they did not get the benefit of the grace that God had for them. And so, just like today, when we witness to people and tell everyone that the Lord is coming back, the great tribulation is going to happen, God still has grace for them, really, too. And when you think about it, everyone here, everyone walking on this world, God has grace for everyone. Because what is grace? Grace is unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. Right? We can't merit it. We can't work for it. And we can't earn it. It's God's grace. And the acronym of grace is what? G. God's riches are. A for what? At. C. Christ's expense. And so Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we know that Noah wasn't perfect, right? How many of you guys know that Noah wasn't perfect? Noah was not perfect. In fact, later on in the story in Genesis, it says he got really wasted. He got really wasted, and some other stuff might have happened. It alludes to some other weird stuff might have happened. Okay? So he was a man just like us. Okay? He had problems. He had struggles. But God calls him a righteous man. And so I want to talk about, there's another person in the New Testament, and his name is Peter. And Peter had a downfall too. Number one, Peter in Matthew chapter 26. If you want to turn there, it's fine. Matthew chapter 26. Jesus is in the upper room. It's hours before he's going to be crucified. He's telling his disciples, his closest friends, hey, I'm going to the cross and you guys are going to split. You guys are going to deny me and run away. And Peter pipes up and says, not me, not me. Not me, I won't. You see that in chapter 26? Number one problem, if Peter's arguing with the Lord. We do it in subtle ways, you and me. We do it. We see something working out in our lives and we don't like it. We don't understand it. It's not my plan. And we start arguing with the Lord. Well, Peter's arguing with the Lord right now, saying, no, not me, Lord. I'll die with you. And then, point number two, he says, I will go to the cross with you. And so I'd say point number two is pride. Pride. And then he had confidence in the flesh, saying, no, I'll die with you, Lord. So pride number two. Number three point. Here's where Peter starts slipping away. They're in the garden. Jesus goes away around stone's throw away, right? He says, I'm going over there, and you guys pray that you won't enter into temptation. Well, they all start snoozing, right? Jesus comes back an hour and says, hey, can't you guys even pray for 1 hour? And so, you know, prayer is more than just asking God for things we want, right? Prayer is for keeping away things that we don't want too, right? And so he was snoozing. So Peter was sleeping when he should have been praying. And then number four point, these are points that led Peter away from the Lord and failing God. He was woken up and he pulls out his little sword. Remember what he did? Malcolm's ear, he cut it off, right? Jesus had to put it back on him, right? So Peter used an earthly weapon to fight a spiritual battle, right? So Jesus had to pick up Malcolm's ear and put it back on him. So point number four, fleshly weapons. Point number five, Peter followed the Lord from afar. Okay? And you and I, when we are not in front and center, and we're towards the end of the pack, that's following the Lord afar. And the Old Testament actually teaches that the enemies of God, that's how they attacked the Jews, the children of Israel. They would always attack the end of the pack. And so if we aren't front and center in the battle, we're going to be following the Lord afar. And some of you guys I know are from the ranch. You guys are going to be leaving, and church is going to be a discipline you're just going to have to do. You need to be in the body of Christ. So I just want to encourage you, if you follow the Lord afar, like Peter did, you will be denying him. It's just the progression. Number six, Peter was warming himself at the enemy's fire. At the palace, when Jesus was being scourged, he comes out and the rooster crows three times, right? Because Jesus says in 26, after the rooster crows three times, you will have denied me three times. So this little girl at the fire, Peter's warming himself, says, you're one of them. I can tell by your accent. Peter, blankety, blankety, blank, blank, blank. I don't know this guy. Cock-a-doodle-doo. And then another time. And then another cock-a-doodle-doo. And then a third time, cock-a-doodle-doo. And then guess who walks out? Jesus does. And Jesus, I'm sure, probably right at the same moment, Peter is cussing. Blankety blank, blank, blank. I don't know this man. Jesus walks out and looks at Peter. And it says that Jesus looks at Peter, and Peter leaves right then and weeps bitterly. And that gaze that Jesus looked at Peter, it says something to you and me. What do you think the Lord was looking at, Peter? Like, man, stink, I'm going to die for you. And you're cussing and saying that you don't even know me. I don't think he was looking like that. I think that Peter saw the eyes of grace, a glance of love. That's why Peter went and wept bitterly in repentance. I want to tell you something. When you and I blow it, how do we see the eyes of the Lord looking at us? You know, because sometimes we can blow it and our minds get twisted and we don't think straight. But we need to see the eyes of God's grace on us. When you're blowing it and you fall into a sin, you deny the Lord, or you're just tripping up, I want to encourage you that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I want to encourage you that Peter found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, Peter, he didn't lose his faith. He lost his hope, right? I mean, he loved the Lord. He denied him, yes. But he lost his hope because his master was being crucified and taken away. He wrote the first book of Peter, and the whole theme of Peter is what? Hope. Hope. Do not lose your hope. And hope in the Bible is a sure expectation of things to come. Hope means that there's good coming around the corner. And he lost that. But he didn't lose his faith and his love for the Lord. And so even at cussing, even at denying the Lord, he still loved the Lord. He still believed in the Lord. And he still had faith in the Lord. And I'm sure some of you, if you've been Christians for a while and walked down that rocky road of backsliding, you have that fear in your heart. I still believe in God. I know He's the way. You still have faith. But you've lost your hope. And so, when we find ourselves in that area, we need to see the eyes of the Lord that Noah found grace, and you and I can find grace in the eyes of the Lord for us. And it really tells us we need to find it. Hebrews, let's turn to Hebrews real quick. Hebrews, grace is unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. We can't earn it. We can't be good enough. We can't work for it. We can't read the Bible enough. We can't pray enough. The Bible says that the law came through Moses, But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And it's just our nature to be legal, to add rules. You know, yeah, but grace and truth. See, John? Truth. Jesus is the truth. Whether I'm walking in the truth or doing good in the truth, grace doesn't change, you guys. So what I'm trying to say is that grace is not determined by the way whether I'm walking in the truth or doing good or bad. You guys understand that? That grace is unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor from God. And through faith through Jesus Christ, you have grace. And I want to encourage you with that because if you walk with the Lord long enough, you're going to find out you're going to need that. You're going to need that. And the devil is going to want to blow you away. Real quick, the bigger influence you have, the bigger the target. Okay? And so, in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may attain mercy and find grace to help us in time of trouble. Now I want you to know this. And find grace. To attain mercy and find grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I believe Peter found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hebrews, God is telling us to find grace. You might say, okay, Pastor Johnny, how do I find grace? We have to gaze into the face of Jesus Christ. We have to look at Jesus. And when I look at Jesus and I gaze into the face of Jesus, right off the bat, I think about the crown of thorns. He was beaten. I think about when I gaze at Jesus Christ to find grace, that he was nail-pierced hands and feet and a sword-pierced side for me and you. For all those, for the whole world, really. But especially for us who have received him by faith. That grace is there for you and me. It's there. But we have to find it. And we have to gaze at Jesus Christ. And when you gaze at Jesus Christ, you will find grace and help in time of need. And grace is what? Let's say it together. Unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor. That's what God has for each one of us. We need to find it. And grace. Grace is a wonderful thing. You know, it's my nature to, like, break you off. Right? I mean, you guys, it's my nature, if you blow it, you break a rule, you break God's word, it's my nature to get mad and yell at you and say, hey, you doof, where's your brain? But God's way is grace. I want to tell you something. Grace will change you. Now you can have a legal relationship with Jesus Christ, but God wants to have a love relationship with you. And it's through the grace of Jesus Christ. It's through the grace of God. God has grace for us. And you know, there's another verse. I want to close with this. It's in Colossians chapter 4. And You know, I know a lot of people get angry, and we blow it, and Moses rang the law. But his anger kept him out of the promised land, right? Remember? He got angry. That was a law. But the grace of God, the grace of God, in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, it tells us, it encourages us, it exhorts us how to talk to each other. And I just want to, if I can find it. There we are. God doesn't tell us what to say, but He tells us how to say it. And here's what it is. So this is what I believe. If we speak like this, let your speech, verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So here's what I'm saying. If we have grace, if we speak to each other with grace, with salt, seasoned with salt, we're going to have the answers to virtually answer every question anyone asks us if we speak with grace. And so I want to encourage you guys that when we talk to each other, we need to talk with grace. God's given us grace. We need to give out grace. Okay? And there's a way that a lot of us have been probably guilty of yelling and getting angry, right? It's sin. It's wrong. The Bible does say, be angry and sin not. But here's what I want to say. This verse right here. Yeah, but I don't know what to say to this question. When we speak with grace, seasoned with salt, we'll know what to say. It's going to come out that way. If we just speak with grace in our hearts to each other. So, my question is to you, when you blow it, do you see the grace of God for yourself? Or are you thinking, God's really upset at me right now because I know better? I want to remind you that when God saved you, He knew everything, beginning and end. He knew you were going to blow it. He knew what I was going to blow it. And He still chose us. And so, because of that fact, we can repent, we can receive that grace, and expect God to bless us. Okay? Instead of coming under the enemy's condemnation, saying, you blew it again. And so, I want to close with this, that we need to speak to each other with grace, seasoned with salt, and then we'll know how to answer anyone that has a question. So, let's pray. Lord, Noah found grace in your eyes. Peter found grace in your eyes. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, you say, come boldly before your throne to obtain mercy and find grace. Lord, we want to gaze at you, Jesus. We want to gaze at your love, Lord, that you proved it on Calvary and you are resurrected and the Spirit of Christ lives inside of us. And Lord, we want to gaze at your beauty, your unfailing love proved to us on Calvary that you have grace for each one of us, Lord, in all the areas that we are suffering. We are doing terrible at. You have grace enough for each of those, Lord. And because of that grace, Lord, we want to do better, Lord. We want you to change us, Lord. And so, Lord, we ask for transformation. Transformation, Lord, through your love. Because you love us so much, Lord, that you love us when we're dirty, rotten sinners. And you still choose to love us, Lord. And so, Lord, transform us into the image of Jesus Christ so that we can say, I found the grace of God in the eyes of the Lord looking towards me. And Lord, I don't know what everyone's going through, Lord, but I know there's something, and there will be something each one of us will go through that will be impossible, Lord, where we're going to need your grace. And we're going to be like Peter. We're going to try all the different scenarios to try to work things out. And you're going to allow them not to work. Because you are the God of impossibilities, Lord. And that your grace is there for us, Lord. And so, Lord, we want to receive that grace in Jesus' name right now. Lord, that you have grace for us, Lord, for those areas. And that you want to do a miracle for each one of us, Lord. And so, Lord, I just pray for every person here, Lord, that they would experience that grace, Lord. And because they can experience that grace, even today, Lord, that they can expect a blessing from you, Lord. Because of the grace, Lord. Because of you, Jesus. You paid the price. Lord, we are your kids. And for loving us, Lord, so undeserving, Lord, just makes us want to love you more. In Jesus' name. Amen.